Today on Real Radio.
And look what Peter says here. Him God, verse 31, has exalted to his right hand to be Prince and Savior, to give repentance to Israel and the forgiveness of sins. Some of us this morning in here, we don't know if that's true or not. We don't know what it's like to be forgiven and have our guilt wiped away.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his verse-by-verse series through the book of Acts. We're looking at chapter 5 and focusing on verse 17 on. The apostles are spreading the word in Jerusalem about the risen Messiah, and thousands are listening and believing. Well, of course, things are heating up between those spreading the word and certain religious authorities of the day, so much that they tried to keep the apostles in prison. Well, of course, this would just give the followers of Yeshua more resolve. Here's Pastor Jack Hibbs in a study called Gaining Courage.
And when they heard that, verse 21, they entered the temple early in the morning and taught. But the high priest and those who were with him came and called the council together with all the elders and the children of Israel and sent to the prison to have them brought. 70 guys are sitting on the seats together, shaped in a half circle, robes, mitre hats, the whole banana. Power. All right, guys, in a moment they're going to be bringing in these 12 guys that are turning the world upside down. They're doing things that we wish we could do, and we're not going to allow it any longer. They love God, and we don't. We're religious, and they know him. We've got to put this down. I don't like it. They're meeting. All the time these guys are babbling, the disciples are back at the temple preaching the gospel, and they think they're in prison, en route to the courthouse. I love God's sense of humor here. This is super. The angels have got to be going, I wish we could see this. It says in verse 22, but when the officers came and did not find them in the prison, they returned and reported. Reported what? It says in verse 23, indeed, we found the prison shut securely and the guards standing outside before the doors. But when we opened them, we found nobody inside. Now remember, these guys come marching in, sabers rattling before the council. Sir, we're here to report that there's nobody in there. What? Well, you know, there's the guys were standing out front, the guards were there, everything was intact, but there's nobody in there. They're gone. How can this be? How can this be happening? If I'm on that council of 70, I better start thinking quick. Those guards are not stupid. They're not going to let somebody crawl out from underneath the door. What's happening here? And so it says in verse 24, now when the high priest, the captain of the temple, and the chief priests, plural, heard these things, they wondered what the outcome would be. Can I offer a suggestion, you guys? Bow your knee to Jesus Christ. Gee, I wonder what the outcome is this going to be. I wonder what's going to happen. They look at each other. Do you think it's going to, what do you think is going to happen? I don't know. Somebody should have said, I think we better get on our faces and accept God quick. They wonder what the outcome is going to be. Verse 25, then one came and told them, saying, look, the men whom you put in prison are standing in the temple teaching the people. Then the captain went and the officers and brought them without violence, for they feared the people, lest they should be stoned. I love this. Hi, you guys. We arrested you a little earlier. Could you kind of like pretend we're arresting you again? Come with us to the courthouse. They had no power over these guys. The arresting authority comes and says, can you come with us, please? No violence, no harm. Amazing. God's intervention. God's leading on this. And so it says, verse 27, and when they had brought them, they set them before the council, and the high priest asked them, saying, did we not command you not to teach in this name? And look, you have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine and intend to bring this man's blood on us? The first thing when I looked at this scripture and study and going over this, the first thing that came to my mind is, why don't they say his name? These were the guys that condemned him to death 2 months earlier. They know his name. Did we not command you not to teach in this name? You could hear Peter go, what, Jesus? And look, you have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine. Oh, Lord, may that be true for us. May we fill California with the doctrine of Jesus. May we fill America. May we fill Russia, China, North Africa with this doctrine. Awesome. Hey, you guys, we told you not to talk about this man. You're filling the whole city, the whole country with this doctrine. You could hear Andrew go, amen, preach it, brother. But notice this in verse 28. We told you not to teach in his name. And do you intend, down at the bottom there, verse 28, and intend to bring this man's blood on us? His name's Jesus, boys. Just give up and accept him. Remember they said earlier on, we looked at it in the book of Mark, may his blood be upon us and our children. Away with him. Crucify him. Well, now that's coming home to haunt them. They're saying now, wait a minute, you guys, you're trying to make us guilty of his murder? Yep. We reject him. This morning, if you are rejecting Jesus Christ, if you have lived your life like I lived my life for 21 years, rejecting him, it's no different than commanding him to be crucified. Away with him. They said, away with him. We will not have this man rule over us. Well, you may not be into crucifixion. You may not be into violence, but will you have this man to rule over you? Will you yield your life to Jesus and bow to his kingship and his lordship in your life? So important. Forever important. But these guys are fighting. Verse 29, then Peter, listen to this beautiful defense, the proclamation of the word. And Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus. By the way, this is Peter's brilliant on this point here. He's teaching, these men are Hebrews. He's teaching them in the Hebrew manner of teaching. You notice when you read through Proverbs and Psalms, the scripture says, the wicked man shall perish, but the righteous shall inherit eternal life. It teaches in opposites. That's how the Hebrews learn. That's how they teach. The scripture, when it says, Jesus said, you have heard that it has been said, but I say unto you, they teach in oppositions, opposites. Peter, in verses 29 to 32, does an awesome thing. He says in verse 30, the God of our fathers raised up Jesus. Oh, yeah? Whom you murdered on a tree. See the opposite? You guys have condemned him. And when he said you hung on a tree, that carries with it all of the horrible shame that crucifixion brought. It means rejection. It means that not only you're rejecting him, but you are acknowledging him as somebody not to be reckoned with, to be dealt with. And look what Peter says here. Him God, verse 31, has exalted to his right hand to be prince and savior, to give repentance to Israel and the forgiveness of sins. Some of us this morning in here, we don't know if that's true or not. We don't know what it's like to be forgiven and have our guilt wiped away. And so often we stand back in criticism. The Bible says, taste and see that the Lord, He's good. Taste and see. Verse 32, and we are His witnesses to those things. And so also is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey Him. The word obey in the Greek means to run after, to pursue with vengeance, with tenacity. Follow Him. I'd like to make you this offer. And in Russia, this works very well because the people love a challenge. You tell them, you seek Jesus Christ for a month. Just, I know you don't believe in Him. That's right, I don't believe in Him. Will you do me a favor? And they're so precious. Yes, I will. They don't say, they're not Americanized. We go, what? We start watching our pockets, you know, what? They'll say, yes. Will you get on your knees every day for a month and ask God to reveal Himself to you if He's real? If He's not real, friend, don't worry about it. Will you ask Him for a month and see what happens? Yes, I will. And they'll do it. You can bet on it. If you, this morning, will get on your knee and ask Him, Jesus, I don't believe You're even there. Don't believe You're real. Don't believe You love me. Don't believe that You exist. But if You do, you know what? I'm going to ask and show Yourself to me in the next 4 weeks and, you know, whatever. Hey, hang on to your seat. Because if you are remotely curious, He will begin to show Himself to you. And I know that's a bold statement, but you know what? I can say it in all confidence because I don't have to worry about Him doing His part. I'm concerned about us doing our part. He says of Himself that I am. God says, I am a rewarder of those who diligently seek Me. That's a promise, you know. Seek Him. Verse 33, and when they heard this, they were furious. And the word furious is with red anger, teeth set. And they took counsel to kill them. Then one of the council stood up, a Pharisee, not a Sadducee, but a Pharisee named Gamaliel, a teacher of the law, held in respect by all the people, and commanded them to put the apostles outside for a little while. And he said to them, verse 35, you ought to mark this, serious stuff here, we'll be done soon. Men of Israel, take heed to yourselves what you intend to do regarding these men. For some time ago, Theudas rose up, claiming to be somebody. A number of men, about 400, joined him. He was slain, and all who obeyed him were scattered and came to nothing. After this man, Judas of Galilee rose up in the days of the census and drew away many people after him. He also perished, and all who obeyed him were dispersed. All negative recounts. Insinuating, this Jesus, don't worry about it. Probably a lunatic. No big deal. This following, nothing to be worried about, you guys, because I got some counsel for you. It says in verse 38, and now I say to you, keep away from these men and let them alone. For if this plan or if this work is of men, it will come to nothing. That's not true. That's not true. This is not good counsel. A lot of people would take this as good counsel. First of all, we know from history that Gamaliel, who's one of the greatest intellects that ever lived, by the way, he died 18 years before the destruction of the Jerusalem temple. We know that for a fact. He was the grandson of the great Rabbi Hillel. You've heard of him. He was the president of this Sanhedrin that's in session right now. He had one of the greatest intellects of all time. He had a student by the name of Saul of Tarsus, who in Gamaliel's own writings wrote that he regretted having Paul or Saul as a student because he could not keep enough books before him because he consumed them all. Speaking of Paul, of Saul. Gamaliel's a big hitter, but it also, we have these writings in church history that after this event, Gamaliel wrote writings of condemnation against the church and signed decrees for their extermination. Gamaliel. What he is saying to you and I this morning, you and I have heard for many times in our lives, we've heard this. Gamaliel saying, hey, don't worry about it. No big put. Don't fuss. Don't be backed into a corner of making a decision, guys. Satan's talking to some this morning saying, hey, you know what? This is a little heavy. You don't need this stuff. You need something light, fluffy. Something that, you know, doesn't, you know, nothing about commitment. You know, that's kind of weird. Besides, you're committed enough to your job. And you're committed enough to family and to hobby and to, don't get strung out now on too many things. Just wait a little bit. Kind of, listen, that's the words of the enemy, man. 2 Corinthians tells us today's the day of salvation. Now's the time. Yes, God is urgent. Yes, this message is urgent for you to make a decision. And you sit here this morning, and you might be thinking, well, you know what? Come on, man. I got my retirement coming up here pretty soon. And summertime. And I understand that. But what happens if you die of a heart attack today? What if something happens? Do you know in your heart that you'll go to heaven? Are you sure? You can be sure. Before the end of the message this morning, we'll give you an opportunity to do that, to make a decision. But you have to be careful that you don't put it off. Gamaliel's saying, don't worry about it. He says in verse 39, but if it is of God, you cannot overthrow it. Well, that's true. Lest you even be found to fight against God. That's true. But there's no urgency here. And he himself never came to faith in Jesus Christ. We know that from historical writings. And they, verse 40, agreed with him, the council. And when they had called for the apostles and beaten them, little token beating, by the way, 39 whippings, which generated blood every time off the back. 39 of them. Each guy got 39 hits. I'd like to ask, hits for what? What are they? Are they guilty or not guilty? What's the problem here? Why release them? Why spank them and let them go? Compromise. Watered down. These guys are right on, but they don't know how to deal with it. Verse 41, so they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. And daily in the temple and in every house, they did not cease teaching and preaching Jesus as the Christ. Isn't that awesome? Teaching means to teach believers. They're already believers. You teach them the Bible, like what we're doing right now. Preaching is having evangelism built into it. Preaching is for evangelism. Teaching is for Bible study. What a beautiful ministry. They taught and they preached. They had a good balance. They had people coming to Christ, but they also had people growing. A mark of the Holy Spirit. I'm going to leave a couple thoughts with you. We mentioned Wednesday night of a thing that just blew my mind when I heard about it. So some of you who were here, just be patient a moment. You may be sitting back this morning thinking that you've got time and you don't have to make a decision. Do you realize this morning that everybody Jesus called to himself, he called publicly? The Bible says in Romans 10:9 that you must proclaim Jesus publicly. Jesus said, if you will not acknowledge me in front of people, then I will not acknowledge you in front of my Father which is in heaven. If you deny me in front of people, then I will deny you in front of my Father which is in heaven. We spent, and your kids, many of our children spent the week up at Calvary Chapel's Conference Center, brand new, 450 acres of the most beautiful place you've ever seen. First class. When you go into the lodge, there, it's humongous. It's all pine, big beams. And there's wagon wheels with lights on them. You know, it looks like you're at the Ponderosa kind of. You expect Haas or somebody to walk in any moment. Well, around the walls are these animals from all over the world, big game animals. There's moose, water buffalo, wildebeest, a bear, a lion, leopard, cheetah, rhino. In fact, number 5, black rhino in the world, very rare. And I'm standing there going, whoa, this is neat. Gosh, those almost look real. And Larry Taylor goes, man, those things are real. And I said, you gotta be kidding me. He goes, no. In fact, that black rhino hanging on the wall, that's number 5. He said, that's considered priceless. There's very few of them in the world. And he said, this entire collection here has been insured for was insured by the owner for $1.5 million. That's its worth. I said, you gotta be kidding me. I said, well, I mean, how'd you guys get this stuff? And the guy, well, Chuck Smith made an announcement down at Calvary that they were looking for game to put in the lodge up there. Well, a neighbor went home and told their neighbor. And the guy's 90 years old, the neighbor, and he said, well, I'd like to see this place. So he went up to the mountains and he looked at it, thought it was pretty cool. Well, in his trailer, he had $1.5 million worth of stuffed animals in there. They pull them out, they hang them on the walls. He said, I'd like to donate this. The guy's not a Christian. I'd like to donate this to the church. This is great. And I want them hanging here. This is a nice place. So they hang them up. They get done hanging them up. And some guys from the conference center begin to share the Lord with this man. They show them that Jesus Christ is Christ. 90 years old, the man accepts the Lord. Gives his heart to Jesus Christ. Comes down the mountain, comes back home, and dies. Now you may not have the luxury of living 90 years as you wish and get into heaven at the end. The Bible says there's a moment when man will be removed, and that without remedy. Don't bank on tomorrow. That man, in God's grace, there was a decision made, and God took him to glory.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, in a study called Gaining Courage. A look at the latter part of the book of Acts, chapter 5. It's the account of how the first believers, most of whom were Jewish, were receiving the good news with eagerness, and how this didn't sit too well with the religious authorities of the day. We'll continue with more of our journey through the Acts of the Apostles on Monday's edition of Real Radio. You know, if you'd like to support Real Radio and learn the true meaning, purpose, and practice of prayer, you'll love this offer we're now extending here at Real Radio. It's a 2-CD set called When a Christian Prays. When a Christian Prays is considered an excellent treatment on verbal communication with the Lord of the universe and how we all too often miss out on this greatest of privileges. When a Christian Prays is yours for a gift of any amount in support of Real Radio. Again, for your gift to Real Radio of any amount, we'll send you this 2-CD set of Pastor Jack's teaching, When a Christian Prays. You will definitely be challenged in your prayer life. Now, to begin with, you can visit realradioactive.org and read more about the series under the banner Special Offer. You can make your tax-deductible donation and request it all online. realradioactive.org. To get in touch by telephone, 877-RR-RADIO. 877-RR-RADIO. If you'd like to write to us, here's our address. Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Real Radio is made possible by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, and the generous contributions of its listeners. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine
amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs has been made possible by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.